While you're turning to Job chapter 9, go to the book of Psalms and take a left, go back one book and you'll be in Job. Job chapter 9. And the Bible says, "Then Job answered and said, I know it is of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" I want to preach this question this morning that Job asked here. How can a man be right with God? How can a man be right with God? Now, as Job answers this question, we see Bildad here is accusing Job in chapter 8 of being a hypocrite. Bildad says, Job, probably the reason you're in such a mess is because you're a hypocrite, because you've done things that's ungodly or something in an ungodly way, and God's a punishing you, and you just won't admit it. And Job here in chapter 9, he answered and said, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" Now, I don't think Job's saying that I'm a hypocrite. He wasn't saying that. I don't even think he was answering to Bildad. I think he was answering to Eliphaz over in chapter 4 when Eliphaz was talking to him about God. In Job chapter 4, Eliphaz, one of them other buddies that come along to comfort him in that time of sorrow. Ain't you glad you ain't got buddies like these? Hey man, to come sit around with you and mourn for 7 days and then begin to accuse you of being ungodly, having something in your life that caused this to happen to you. But Eliphaz, he said in chapter 4, verse 17, he said, "Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before them all." Eliphaz had said, "Hey, listen, how can a man be more just than God? A just God is a just God, and God is a good God." And we can see Job here, and as he comes through his afflictions, everything that he's been through, and he said, "Hey, how can a man be right with God? How can a man stand in the presence of a holy God in all his magnificent holiness and say that I'm all right?" I want to say, praise God, I'm glad to can inform you today that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Amen. I'm nobody special. Just one of God's little children. Praise God, who was lost and undone, but now I'm found. Praise God, my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the precious blood of Jesus. Praise God, that no man can erase. Ain't you glad for that? But as we look at this morning and we see Job's life, now you say, "Well, preacher, how do you know that Job wasn't a hypocrite? How do you know he didn't sin against God?" Because God said so. Amen. God said Job was a good man. If you'll go back over in the Word of God to Job chapter 1, I believe it is. Job chapter 2, I'm sorry. Job chapter 2 and verse 3, God said this about his servant Job. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" He said, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job? Hey, he's a right man, and he's right in his heart, and he's trying to do right, he's trying to talk right, he's trying to walk right, and he hates evil." Yeah, amen. Amen. So was Job a hypocrite? No, Job wasn't no hypocrite. Job was trying his best to do right. But you know what was a hinder Job? Praise God, old sin, praise God, just like it hinders me and you. So the question he asked here is, how can a man be right with God? Now, this is a common question. This is a question that's been answered throughout all the ages, amen? World without end. I praise God. Every age that's come along, every century, every generation has asked this question, how can I be right with God? How can I do that that's pleasing to a holy and a righteous God? Amen. Hey, every century, every person, every place, hey, listen, I believe my granddaddy and my grandmother, they asked the same question, and they were godly people. They feared the Lord, but I believe they asked that same question. How can a man be right? How can I be right with a holy God? Amen. How can we be right with a holy God? It's an important question. It needs to be asked in the day and hour we live. Amen. Man's eternal destiny hinges on this question. Amen. Why our eternal destiny, where we end up eternally, depends on this question. How can I be right with God? Amen. It's a powerful question. It's a question that we should be asking today. How can I? See, it's a personal thing. Amen. He brings it down to where we're at. How can we know that we're right with God? How can we be right with, how can I be right with God? Amen. It's an important question, but it's a difficult question. No man in man's wisdom can answer it. Amen. I'm telling you, no man in man's wisdom can answer this question, how can I be right with God? We don't have the knowledge and the wisdom to know how to be right with God. Not in man's wisdom. No man can tell you how to be right. Amen. It's a difficult question. Why is it such a difficult question? Because of the very character of God. As Eliphaz was talking about, it's because of who He is. It's because of His holiness, His righteousness, and His justness. Amen. He's a holy and a God. Amen. Holy in every aspect of His character. He's righteous. He's right in every decision that He makes. He said, well, preacher, there's a lot of times we go through some very difficult situations and God allows us to go through them, and He's right in doing that because there's a reward at the end. But God in all His character, the difficult question is, how can we be right with God? Because, when God is so holy, God is so righteous, and God is so just. And how can we be right with God when the character of man is so flawed? We're sinful and we're guilty and we're helpless in this world we live in. Amen? We are. That's who we are. That's where we're at. We're guilty of our sin. We're sinful, amen. We're guilty of that sin, and praise God, we're just helpless to do anything about it. Man can't tell you how to get right, amen, outside of the help of the Lord. Outside of this blessed old book, praise God, we have no way in order to make things right with God. We don't have the technology, we don't have the wisdom, the unction, praise God, outside of the Word of God. Now, there's some lunatics going around today, praise God, said that this blessed old King James Bible that we have, that it didn't come from God, that it came from the church, that the church was established, and then the church sat down and penned down the Bible. Amen? That's what Catholicism is. I heard them say it yesterday. I wouldn't have believed it. They was a tall, Catholic radio, and I flipped over just a second, and I didn't have to be there long because they're talking about the Holy Ghost of God, and that the Holy Ghost of God wasn't just wasn't a presence that helped you, praise God, that it took the church to tell you what you needed, and praise God, it had to come from the vicar or come from the Pope over in Rome, praise God, and had to be handed down, and the only way that we got the Word of God is because the church gave it to us. I want to say the church didn't give us the Word of God, praise God. God give the church the Word of God. Amen. Without God, there'd be no church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's because of God. It's because of what He done. Men are coming around today and they're saying, well, you know, what it's all is this easy believism. They're saying, well, you know, we don't really need God. We just little gods in ourselves. Our schools are telling us in this liberal philosophy crisis that you're a little god within yourself and you just manifest that little god and you'll have a man from hell. That's what you'll have. Amen. When your flesh begins to manifest itself and it begins to come out, praise God, there'll just be a wickedness and a wicked thing. Amen. But when man begins to realize that man's character is sinful, amen, guilty and helpless, then God can begin to help. Now men's trying to answer the questions. Men's trying to say, well, you know, you don't have to really worry about it because God is a merciful God. You ever hear that one? You ever hear that? Say, well, you know, God, you don't have to worry about how you do or what you act or how you live. God is a merciful God and you're going to be okay because He's merciful. He is a merciful God. Amen. And He's long-suffering, the Bible says, to us. Thank God that He is. But amen, He still expects us something from me and you. He still expects us to come before a holy God with a reverent fear, praise God, and live up to His expectations and not our own. Man comes along with their expectations, said, you know, if you'll do this or do that. And you know, I told you a long time ago, if I come up with a list of 25 things And I took that list of 25 things and I pinned them down. I wrote them down one at a time, numbered them for 1 to 25 and said, if you'll do these in order 1 to 25, if you'll do these things, I pray God, just like I've got them written down here, you'll be shoo-in to go to heaven. Amen. The doors of heaven will open up when you get there and they'll usher you in with trumpets and a parade. If you'll do these 25 things, I guarantee you, you get in. You know what they'd do? People would line up for miles around. Amen. Wanting those. Hey, they bring monies. Praise God. I could become a rich man, Brother Jeff. Praise God. Because they'd come wanting those 25 ways to get into heaven. But I want to say, praise God, it don't take no 25 thing. It takes one thing, praise God, this morning. It's the precious blood of Jesus to cleanse those sinners from their sinful ways. Amen. Hey, man, they say, well, it's just a merciful God. He'll let us in. You know, it'll be okay because, and number two, he said, because, you know, really, Brother Rex, we're not that bad. We're not really that bad. We're pretty good people. I mean, we get up, we go to church on Sunday. And we try to get there without fighting with the wife and the young ones. And we try to worship. We try to praise God a little bit before we go to the house. Amen. Before we go flying out the back door trying to get down to the steakhouse. Amen. So man really ain't that bad. You know, that's a story you hear so many times. I hear it a lot as a pastor. And I hear it a whole lot. I've had people ask me. Let me just share this with you. I've had people ask me to do a funeral for a loved one. And knowing good and well that person's lost. You say, well, you don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. That's between them and God. But they never did bear no fruit. They wouldn't talk about God. They didn't want nothing to do with God or God's people. They shunned the very thought of God. Amen? Wouldn't have nothing to do with godliness. And they asked you, they said, well, preacher, could you come and preach a funeral for my loved one? And could you kind of just say a few good words over him? They say, you know, they got to be something good in a man that you can raise up and lift up and magnify, when they're gone. But you know, they put you in a spot. They want you to try to relive their life for them while they're laying in a little old 6-foot box and try to make that person who's denied and rejected and rebelled against God into something that he's not. And you just got to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And you just got to say, hey, listen, in the Word of God, the Bible says, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Amen. Because man's not that good in himself. Nothing he can do by himself. And praise God, when he goes out of here, praise God, how he falls, that's where he's going to lie. Amen. Amen. How can a man be right with God? Praise God. We can't do it but just because God's merciful. We can't get there because we're not so bad because we're all sinners. Amen. In need of a Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We can't get there because a lot of times people say, well, you know, preacher said, it's all going to shake out in the end. Everything has when the things fell out, it's going to be all right in the end. And we just going to, it's kind of like taking, some things and putting them into a tow sack and shaking it up and then dumping it out and see what you get. There's a lot of people today believe like that. And they say, look, you know, we're just going to take life. We're just going to shake it up. And we're going to put it in a sack. And praise God, just live life the way we want to do it. And praise God, when it's dumped out to end, we'll just see how the chips fall. I want to say, praise God, it won't fall in your favor. I'm sorry to say. God give us intelligence. He give us a conscience. He give us we made us free moral agents, praise God, to make an informed decision. If you're sitting here in the sound of my voice this morning, God Almighty in His sovereign will and His goodness is speaking to you. It's that mercy extended, amen. But it's mercy that has to be accepted this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. How can a man be right with God? Job said, hey, listen. Bildad, he said, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. He said, you must have forgot God somewhere along the line. Amen. You must have stepped away for him a little while and disregarded God. He said, you're just a hypocrite. Amen. Let me just lay it out there. He said, you're just a hypocrite. But God said Job was no hypocrite. Said he was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Amen. He said he was a man that was trying to do right. But even a godly man, Brother Dean, like old Job, that was trying his best to do right in the flesh. Praise God. He looked over Bildad between Beek and Bill. And he said, how can a man be right with God? What does it take to be right with God? I want to ask you this morning, ask yourself, what does it take in your life this morning to make you right with God? Huh? What does it take in your individual life this morning to make you right with God? What will it take? What will it take for you? What will it take for you? It takes the same thing for you and you that it does for me. It's a right relationship with a holy and a righteous God. It's recognizing God and His magnificent power. Amen. Hey, the question that God, it's a question that God and God alone can answer. How can a man be right with God? As Brother Bill says, hey, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Amen. You want to know what God's got to say, praise God, just ask God. Ask believing. He said, and you shall receive. Amen. Seek and you shall find. He said, knock and it'll be open to you. Praise the Lord. How can a man be right with God? Ask yourself that question. How can I be right with God? How many would like to be right with God? Like, lift them up. I mean, I'm talking seriously. Seriously, you want to be right with God. Amen. I believe everybody in the house like to be right with God. Every one of us would like to be right with God. Well, let me just show you how. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. The Bible says this morning that it's not of works. Amen. He said, you can put all the effort that you want to into it, and said that won't work. Look what Paul tells the Romans in Romans chapter 3. He begins, well, let me go back over to verse 9. I'm just going to give you some scriptures this morning to tell you how you can be right. How can you personally be right with God? He said, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. He said, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Just all sinners. How many agree with that this morning? We're just all sinners. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going somewhere this morning. We'll get there. Praise God. When we get done this morning, you'll be able to say, hey, I know how to be right with God. There won't be a doubt in your mind this morning when we get done. Amen. I'm going to try to hurry best I can. But when we get done, you'll be able to go out of here and say, I know how to be right with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't you? You said you wanted to do that. You said you wanted to be that. Amen. I'm going to show you how. In verse 10, it says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Amen. He said that they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Amen. Now look over at verse 16. It says, destruction, misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. He said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Hello? I wonder this morning, do you fear God? Do you have a reverent fear of God this morning? Do you believe Jesus could come before the day He's out? Amen. We need to have a reverent fear. He said, what the problem is, they're in for destruction because they don't fear God. There's no fear of God in them. In verse 19, he says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Look at verse 20. Here's my text for this. He said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen. Number one, he says, if we want to have a relationship, if we want to know that we're right with God, we got to realize that it's not of works. It's not keeping the law. It's not doing exactly the Ten Commandments and living all that. That's a good thing. Amen. If we live these things, praise God, and we make them a part of our life, we should. But that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to save you. It's not keeping of the law. The law just points to us. The law just shows us that we're old sinners in needing of a Savior. Praise the Lord. So it's not the law, it's not the works that'll get us there. Amen. That's number one. It's not works. What you do won't get you there. Not you trying your best to be good, and we should. Amen. Every one of us, old and young alike, you young'uns ought to try your best to be good. You ought to try your best to do right. You ought to obey your mom and daddy. You ought to listen to your teachers. You ought to show respect. Amen. Amen. You ought to reverence your mom and daddy. You ought to reverence God. You ought to reverence the house of God. Amen. We've kind of slipped in our morals. We've kind of slipped in our convictions. We don't reverence the house of God as a high and a holy place. You say, well, preacher, we're not supposed to worship this building. No, but we're to worship the God of the building. This is God's house, youngins. Amen. This is a place that God has set aside for us. Amen. To enjoy fellowship with Him. Bless His holy name. Told you He was merciful. Amen. Bless His name. So not only do we see that it's not of works, but number two, we see that it's by grace. We see how we get in. It's not of works, but it's by grace. He said we're all sinners. In verse 21, Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all, then upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now listen to this, verse 24. He says it's a grace thing that gets us in. How we're right with God, he said it's a grace thing. He said being justified freely by His grace. Amen. Being justified freely. He said, hey, just justified. It means just as if we've never sinned. He said it takes God's grace to manifest that to us. Amen. He said justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He said it takes grace to get us to realize that Jesus is the one that paid the price. Jesus is the one that bought us off that auction block of sin. Jesus was the one who saved our dying soul from a devil's hell. It was Jesus, praise God, that gave us liberty. Amen. To stand up, Jake, and hold our head up high and say, I don't have to go to hell because God Almighty has saved my soul. He set me free, praise God. And when Jesus set me free, He said, I'm free and indeed in Him. Amen. The prison bars are broken. The doors have been jarred wide. And I've been let out. Amen. Not to be bondage, praise God, to sin no more. Oh man. The devil don't like it. Amen. He'd like to hold you in bitter bondage. He'd like to hold you in sin. He'd like to hold you in that so easily beset you. But praise be to God, I'm glad that this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ we trust and believe in Him. By the grace of God, we've been made free. Amen. Amen. Ain't you thank God? Don't you thank God for the grace of God this morning? Ain't you thank God for that grace that sets you free? Man, it gives you liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How did we receive that grace? It was through a pavement. That pavement of redemption. Verse 25 of Romans chapter 3. The Bible says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Amen. He said that by grace, He said you receive that remission through the blood of Jesus. He said it's through that blood. He says through Christ's blood and His blood alone, praise God, and that we've been made free precious by the precious blood of the Lamb. He said, to declare, I say, verse 26, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He said, praise be to God. How can we know that we're right with God? Because we've accepted that blood sacrifice, that price that was paid on the cross of Calvary, that price that was paid so that we could go free. Bought us from the very auction block of sin. Amen. Hey, man, I believe for a whole lot of us, hey, we were standing on that auction block of sin. The old devil was auctioned off. He says, going once, going twice. He was about to smack that devil. The old devil was about to smack that gavel for the third time and cast us off in the eternal pits of hell. But praise God, they was one. And his name was Jesus. And he stepped up and he said, hey, I said, I'll buy them. I'll purchase them, praise God. I'll shed my blood for them. Praise God, the price is paid. Can you just imagine the old devil? He said, hey, wait a minute. You don't know how much. He said, I paid it all. Amen. Paid it all for you. Nothing's owed. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, hey, we can know that we're right with God because the price has been paid for you. It's been paid in full. There's nothing that you have to pay, nothing that you owe. Amen. The price has been paid in full. You say, well, preacher, how do I receive this? How do I receive this that's been paid for? See, it's a gift of God. For by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how do I receive this? We receive it by faith. How do I know I'm right with God? You have faith to trust in Him. Amen. To believe in Him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. He said it's through that precious blood of Jesus, amen, that gives us, that buys us back. It's that precious blood of Jesus that sets us free. It's that precious blood of Jesus that's applied to our lives. Amen. When the old devil comes along now and looks at you, amen, and tries to harass you and tries to put things in your mind and in your mouth and in your heart, you just say, hey, listen, devil, I've got Jesus. The blood's been applied. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that blood, praise God, that cleanses us from all sin is applied, praise God. Amen. Making us clean everywhere because that blood that was shed. And it's by faith that we receive this. Amen? It's by faith that we receive this. Look at chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. He gives us an example here of faith. What is faith this morning? See, he said here that a right relationship with God. To know that we're right with God, he said we have to know about, we know what it ain't. And it ain't works. It ain't nothing that we do. Amen? But we know that it's God Almighty. It's through grace that we know. It's through the blood of Jesus that we know. That's been shed. And it's through faith believing this. Believing in the grace. Believing, praise God, in the blood. Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. And God gives us an example in chapter 4 of Romans. In verse 3. Well, let's just go back to the beginning. He said in verse 1. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaineth to flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. See, if Abraham was saved by his flesh, what he did, he said he'd have something to boast about, but it wouldn't be nothing to do with God. Amen? If we were saved this morning just because we wanted to be, hello? We could praise God. You know, there's a lot of people who's going to slip off to hell today because they're waiting to be saved when it's convenient. But I want to say today, praise God, you can't be saved unless the Holy Ghost of God's dealing your heart. That's that grace applied, praise God, so that you can believe in what you're hearing this morning. You can receive it, praise God, and become a child of God. That's the way it works. But he goes on to say this in verse 3. He says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham, listen to this, believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. What was counted righteousness? That's that right standing before God. So in other words, God through the Holy Spirit here through Paul was saying that Abraham was right with God. Why? Because he believed God. Do you believe God this morning? Amen. Amen. We got to believe God. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. But he goes on, he says, verse 4, he says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. He said, if you try to work your way in, said, it ain't grace that got you in. Hey, it's just debt. He said, God will have to let you in because He owes you something. Hello? These folks that's trying to work their way in, do so many good things in order to get into heaven, it ain't going to work. Because, hey, listen, God don't owe us nothing. Amen. He's paid it in full. It's paid. Hey, glory to God. It's paid in advance. It's like a bus ticket. It's paid in advance. All you got to do is just go up to the counter, praise God, and get your ticket. When the Holy Ghost of God deals with your heart, praise God, just follow your faith. Say, I'm just an old sinner in need of a Savior. Grace comes by and does that, by the way. Mercy from God. He comes by and He's fingered around your heart and He said, you're no sinner, but you know what? I love you. Even while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Amen. Verse 5, He says, now listen to this. He said, but to him that worketh not, but believing on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He said, those that are ungodly, amen, me and you, sinners. I told him Wednesday night, I don't know if it's past Wednesday night or Wednesday week, and you know, when we was talking about sin, godly conviction. If we ever, God ever convicts us and we're just old sinners, and we get up and we look in the mirror and we see that old man that we are and realize that man, woman, that we're just old sinners and that we need a Savior and that we need that Savior every day. Listen, Jesus ain't a Sunday thing. Amen. Jesus isn't just a Wednesday night thing, but Jesus is a constant thing that we have to have if we're a child of God. Because we're old sinners and we need constant attention. We need constant help. And He's our advocate with the Father. Amen. He's the one that goes before. He's our mediator. Goes between us and the Father and gets us the help we need so He can send that consoler, that helper, that comforter alongside. Amen. And we get that when we believe in faith. But to him that worketh not. Now listen to that one more time. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. That takes some old godly, ungodly sinner and makes them just as if they had never committed a sin in their life. That's what Jesus does with you when you believe on His blood. When you put your faith in His blood. Amen. How can we be right with God? By accepting God's grace, praise God, the shed blood of Jesus, by faith. By faith. Said that verse 6 said, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Amen. How does that take place? How can a man be right with God? By grace, through faith, in the precious blood of Jesus. Amen? That's how a man can be right with God. Job says this. Job asked a question. He said, but how should man be just with God? He says, you know, Job says, we have so many conflicts of interest. In Job chapter 19, I thought about this a while ago as I was sitting there. Job chapter 19, he talks about his life. And verse 14, he says, my kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Job's in the same situation as a whole lot of us. It just seems like we don't have anybody. And even them old buds that come along, you know, that's supposed to be his pals, they sit down with him and they begin looking between beat and bill and say, son, you've messed up somewhere. You've sinned. You're a hypocrite. He said, my friends have forsaken me. My family's gone. He said, I have nobody. What can I do? But he goes on in verse 25, verse 19, chapter 19, verse 25. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And now listen to this. I'm talking about faith here. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Amen. He said, when there's nobody else around, when I have no other help, what can I do? He said, I'm just going to have faith in God. He said, I'm just going to trust in the Lord. How can we know that we're right with God? How can you know this morning that you're right with God? Because no matter what happens, no matter what family does, no matter if everyone forsakes you, that you can still know in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That He still loves you, He cares for you, and He'll be an ever-present help to you. Amen? Trust in the Lord, as the little children sang. Trust in the Lord. Have faith to believe that He is God. And no matter what anybody says this morning, amen, no matter what you've been through, no matter where you're at, God loves you and He's on your side. How can you know that you're right with God? Because you know that you can't get there yourself. That takes God's grace, believing in the precious blood of Jesus, and believing in faith, having faith, believe